Hello and welcome to our online worship on this, the third Sunday in Advent. I'm Richard Baxter. I'm the minister of Fort William, Kilmally and Kilmaneveig, and for this year I'm the presbytery moderator for Lochaber Presbytery. Whatever form of online worship your congregation may be used to, I'm sure it'll not be quite like this. Today, ministers and readers and auxiliaries and OLMs from all over Lochaber are going to share together in putting together our online worship. Stuart Gowdy from Northwest Lochaber is going to lead us into worship with some words that come from Psalm 126.
Psalm 126, a prayer for deliverance. When the Lord brought us back to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. How we laughed, how we sang for joy. Then the other nations said about us, "The Lord did great things for them." Indeed, he did great things for us. How happy we were. Lord, make us prosperous again, just as the rain brings water to dry riverbeds. Let those who wept as they sowed their seed gather the harvest with joy. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy as they bring in the harvest. Amen.
Wait a minute, what is there to celebrate? What's all this singing for joy about? What makes you think God is listening to you as you call on him to do great things for your nation and for your people? What makes you think he's going to restore your country and bless your harvests? What gave you that idea? Oh, he's gone.
Our first hymn is going to be "On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry."
I have a question.
Just wait. Let's pray together first. Almighty God, we praise you for the joy and hope which are part of the message of this Advent season. In your love, you sent your Son to be a bridge between heaven and earth, helping us to feel your nearness and revealing to humanity something of the wonder of who you are. We thank you that living among us, Jesus broke down barriers and built bridges to help us to see your love for all people and encouraging us to show such love in our lives. Thank you for the opportunities that we've been given and have taken to love our neighbour. Forgive us for the times we've pretended not to hear or to see the need in others. As we wait again for the coming of your Son, help us to think about your love for us, to think about the love we've shown and have withheld. And may we use this time wisely to align our lives more closely with Jesus and be led by him. Hear us as we pray now in the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Although not exactly in midwinter, the weather at this time is often bleak, and we're only a week or so away from the shortest day. And another few days after that, we will remember the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ, laid in a manger. In a moment, we will hear the carol In the Bleak Midwinter, written by Christina Rossetti. Throughout this strange year, singer-songwriter Bruce Davis has been sharing songs from the kitchen daily, and often whole concerts from his kitchen, helping to keep our spirits up and giving us opportunities to sing along in the privacy of our own homes. It is his recording of In the Bleak Midwinter which we are going to hear in a moment. The words of this carol not only send out a powerful reminder of just what an amazing gift we received in the birth of Jesus Christ, but it's also a reminder to us of the part that we must play too. The last verse asks a question: what can I give him, poor as I am? And then it gives us our answer: what I can, I give him. Give my heart.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. Our God and cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place suffice. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim throng the air, but his mother only in her maiden bliss. Worship the beloved with a mother's kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. Yes, what I can, I give him, give my heart.
Now can I ask my question?
Just wait. It's the readings. Let's hear what Isaiah has to say in chapter 61. The Sovereign Lord has filled me with his Spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to captives, and freedom to those in prison. He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save his people and defeat their enemies. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to give to those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, a song of praise instead of sorrow. They will be like trees that the Lord himself has planted. They will all do what is right, and God will be praised for what he has done. They will rebuild cities that have long been in ruins.
Yes, but...
Hold on, though. The reading isn't finished yet. The Lord says, I love justice and I hate oppression and crime. I will faithfully reward my people and make an eternal covenant with them. They will be famous among the nations. Everyone who sees them will know that they are a people whom I have blessed. Jerusalem rejoices because of what the Lord has done. She is like a bride dressed for her wedding. God has clothed her with salvation and victory. As surely as seeds sprout and grow, the Sovereign Lord will save his people and all the nations will praise him.
Well, that's great, but I still don't know...
Just a moment. Still the Gospel reading to go. The Gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, reading from verse 6. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light.
The Jewish authorities in Jerusalem sent some priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who are you?" John did not refuse to answer, but spoke out openly and clearly, saying, "I am not the Messiah." "Who are you then?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No, I am not," John answered. "Are you the prophet?" they asked. "No," he replied. "Then tell us who you are," they said. "We have to take an answer back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John answered by quoting the prophet Isaiah. "I am the voice of someone shouting in the desert, 'Make a straight path for the Lord to travel.'" The messengers who had been sent by the Pharisees then asked John, "If you are not the Messiah or Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?" John answered, "I baptize with water, but among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I am not good enough even to untie his sandals." All this happened in Bethany, on the east side of the River Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Right, now you can ask your question.
All these people in the readings, they're celebrating good news, aren't they?
Yes.
The psalm was about God bringing people back singing for joy, celebrating God's goodness, rejoicing in the good gifts that he's provided for them. Isaiah is talking about a God who could meet people's needs, bring good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, release the captives and all of that.
Correct.
And then he talks about loving justice and hating oppression and making the world a fairer place.
He does.
And John comes, telling people about the light even though he himself isn't the light.
That's right.
So my question is, where's my good news? Where's our good news? What's going to make life different, not just for people in Israel all those hundreds of years ago, but today in Lough Aber?
I suggest you look at the passages again and think a bit more carefully.
Right, I'll give it a go. Let me find that psalm. When the Lord brought us back to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. So the people in the psalm were going home. So who's going home now? Well, I suppose there are those students who've been tested to make it possible for them to go home over the Christmas break. And there are people who feel that it's going to be safe or safer to meet up with members of their family during the period of the break over the Christmas period itself. And maybe there's a few people who at the minute are coming home to church, coming back to their faith, because of all the new ways we have of sharing that worship and that faith just at this special moment. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy. Well, there's not much of a grain harvest in Lough Aber, certainly not in December. But it is true that when people go to the shops, they find the shelves stacked. They find what they need to meet their needs. They find opportunities to share what they have with other people through the food bank or through other charities and organisations. All right, I'll concede that there's some good news for us in the psalm. But it's going to be different when we get to Isaiah.
We'll see.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has filled me with His Spirit and chosen me to bring good news to the poor. What would good news for the poor look like? Maybe that we're going to share our resources more fairly? That people won't be left without the essentials of life? That people who don't currently have work will find work? And healing the brokenhearted, that would take a bit of time. That would need people to walk with them, to listen to them, to journey with them, to be alongside them. That's a big ask. To announce release to captives. Well, there aren't too many jails in Lough Aber, let's face it. But there are plenty of people who are imprisoned by their mental health, or by their physical restrictions, or by their addictions, or by whatever their needs might be. So that does still happen. But fixing all that's a long-term project. It requires people to give time and dedication and energy and commitment and just patience. How's all that going to happen in Lough Aber?
Look again.
Oh, see, it's at the start. Let me check. The Sovereign Lord has chosen me and sent me and filled me with His Spirit. So all these signs of hope aren't supposed to just appear out of thin air. We're supposed to make them happen. And before we could say, I could never do that, we're told, and God's put His Spirit on you to make it possible. Yeah, I know I was looking for hope, but I wasn't sure that I was expecting to have to do something about it.
Are you satisfied yet?
Surely John the Baptist's always good for some doom and gloom. Let's see what's happening in his part of the story. God sent His messenger, a man called John, who came to tell people about the light so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light, but he came to tell about the light. Well, that's a relief. Isaiah seemed to be telling us we were the ones who had to change things. Now John says, it isn't me. I'm telling you about the one who's coming after me, the one who really will make a difference. Actually, as it turns out, John's quite keen on saying who he isn't. I'm not the Messiah, he says. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. John's no world-changing saviour, but he does have a job as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare the way for the Lord." And all that's true, I suppose. I'm no one-man world changer, and I'm sure you're not either. But we can point to someone who is. We can point in the direction of Jesus, the true light of the world, and say who he is, and direct people towards him. We can say, "Don't look at me, look at him." So when it comes right down to it, there are plenty of reasons for hope this Advent time, here in Lochaber as much as anywhere else. There are the things we already have, which God provides, that meet our needs day by day. There's his provision for us. There's the scope for people to spend at least a little bit more time with family and friends over the Christmas period, if it's appropriate to them. There's the development of vaccines and the plans to distribute them, which at least feel like the first step towards the light at the end of the tunnel, and another cause for thanksgiving. But there's also the challenge from Isaiah. There is hope for people of every kind who are struggling, but it depends on us. We're the people equipped by God's Spirit who are supposed to bring good news to the poor, healing to the sick, freedom for the captives. And yet the ultimate hope doesn't depend on us. It depends on Jesus, the one to whom we point, the one to whom we direct people's attention. Our job is to point to him and say, "Follow him." He's the one who brings new hope and new possibilities. He's the one we're all depending on. I think I've answered my question.
Good. So, what was the answer?
The answer is that God is just as much involved in the world now as he ever has been. The answer is that Jesus is our hope and the light of the world. And the answer is that he, the one who's coming, who changes everything, also puts his Spirit on us to be the people he wants us to be, the people he calls us to be, the ones who'll declare his good news, share his message of hope, and seek to put his love into action.
I'm glad you sorted that out. I think we should probably pause and pray about it now.
Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for all you have given us in Christ, for our meaning and our purpose, the joy and fulfilment we have in serving him. We pray now for those who find it hard to find hope and peace and joy. We reach out to them in their moment of need and ask that the light of your love break through into their darkness. We think of those who are hungry and unnourished, homeless and refugees, sick and suffering, human beings just as we are. We think of those who are caught up in wars, with fear and hatred all around them, homes and livelihoods destroyed. Each day they live under the threat of violence. We pray for those who feel overwhelmed by life, who are lonely and frightened, sad or weary, dreading what the next day may bring. May we be the ones calling in the wilderness of their lives, as John the Baptist was calling in the wilderness. May we be those who follow Christ and who bring fresh hope and help and healing into the lives of others, as Christ did. We ask that we play our part in fulfilling his purpose, so that hope may come to those who need it this Christmas. We ask that the light of Christ may break into their darkness. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this shared Advent service, wherever you may be today, and we pray for God's blessing and his strength upon each one of you.
So we come now to our last hymn. Let us join together in singing, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." Christ child and the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of the Father's love, to share his message of hope, to work out his love in action in your lives. Take with you the song of the angels, the joy of the shepherds, the awe of the wise men, and the wonder of Mary. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love this Christmas season and forever. Amen.
Hear the songs of angels rise through dark and troubled skies, the sound of glory. Tidings of great joy, no sorrow can destroy, salvation story. To our world of grief and pain, God stepped down on Christmas Day. Comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Hope is dawned with the newborn boy. Comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Come and join with the angel's song. Rejoice. Newborn boy, brighter day, His glory shining.